And we have a collection of ministers in our house. It's so wonderful that go to nations and care for the poor. This is typically the day we ask everybody to consider giving more toward that outreach. Next service, we'll do two offerings so we can make it easy. Otherwise, there's boxes here you can drop in. You can specify towards specific ministers that are going out, or you can give to the general missions and nations funds so that we can help and so that's all very powerful. But the Acts group also meet monthly. Carolyn leads that. Carolyn, stand up just so people can see you. She is carries the nations and those who go to them. And if you carry nations, whether it's in the heart of prayer, that you want to be a part of prayer, you want to be a part of sending, or you're one of the goers, we welcome you. Today we'll have a luncheon after the 11 o'clock service. So about 12:45, 1 o'clock, we will be meeting in room 4, I believe. And you're welcome to join us. I know it's kind of early. This is the 9 o'clock. But our desire is that the Antioch church had the capacity to collect themselves under the banner of God and then hear the voice of the Lord and then as one body send out. And they started with Barnabas and Saul. They actually began by sending Barnabas and Saul to give an offering to Jerusalem. And while they were there, they encountered an incredible experience of deliverance that was facilitated by a focused, intense time of prayer. So they came back, Barnabas and Saul, and they said, hey, guess what? We discovered a dimension we think we ought to practice. It's called waiting on the Lord. Let's get together, pray, and minister to the Lord. And while they did, they heard the Holy Spirit say, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them. So they laid hands on them and sent them out, and they began what we now know to be the sending ministry, going out to share the gospel. And it's powerfully alive still today. But it was funny that it was born out of prayer. In Jeremiah 33, we were told that there is going to be healing, and the healing of God, he would bring health and healing and heal Jerusalem, and he would heal the land. And we've taken it for that he was going to release that sound and that miracle power in Jerusalem, in Jubilee. And for the last 4 months, we've been just practicing that in bunches of ways. Now the next phase, not this one goes away, but the next one that comes on top is the gathering of the nations, the sending. He says, and I will gather those who have exiles from Judea and Samaria, and I will bring them back, and I will plant them and build them up into the first place, which is a huge idea of once God says, I'm after souls and bringing them back into their destiny, then that means he's going to be awakening the sending, right? Because he's going to, how can you believe unless you hear? And how can you hear unless you have a preacher? And how can someone preach unless they're sent? Romans 10. So it all of a sudden starts becoming a very vibrantly recognition. Here we are doing the Invite One event, which just starts moving. Now with that will be the miracles and the gifts of healing available to lift off burdens of those who come. Hallelujah. But with the unique thing that I saw just this week, and we're going to hopefully in this week, we called it a Acts in Motion Week, meaning that we're wanting to highlight the movement that's happening, and there's so much, I can't even get to that all in this service. At the same time, we want to recognize that the way movement happens powerfully is with a lot of prayer. So what you find in this Song of Ascents in Psalm 126 says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, which is what true salvation is all about. It's being returning to the purpose God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's like we return to our destiny. He says, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord's done great things for them. I believe with all my heart. You read Jeremiah 33. it gets to the point where the nations start to hear intelligently the goodness of God that's being demonstrated upon his people, that they start to fear and tremble at that goodness. Now, I don't know about you, but my neighbors aren't fearing and trembling. I don't even know if they would notice I was being blessed. But could you imagine what it would look, what kind of degree of blessing would have to touch you for your neighbors to know, wow, something wonderful is happening. You win the lottery? How come, so there is yet to be seen a display of goodness and mercy and grace upon the body of Jesus that collects and gathers and brings them back and puts them in their place of destiny. That if the nations will say, God's done a great thing. And the Lord said, and the Lord has done great things, and we ourselves will go around going, you have no idea what God's done for me. I am so happy of being brought into the freedom and the fullness he ordained. So it's just a real liberating. It says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. But here now we link the power of prayer. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. One of the things that I've learned is that when God gets ready to do something wonderful, he gets his people praying. It just seems to be he starts the prayer movement toward him because he's the one to do what he's going to do. So prayer gets enlivened. So we, on Wednesday night, we want to collect all of the ministers all up here, all that are going out and coming and doing, and then we want to bring all the people that are carrying prayer in their heart, and then we want to release blessing back and forth, and we want to allow God to just bring all of us up to another level. That if God would permit, every one of us would start carrying in our heart, I'm believing for a whole new harvest. I am believing for the resources to send those on their way, and I'm a part of it in prayer, and I'm planning on going. I don't have a clue how any of that's going to happen, but I'm ready. That's how God starts everything. The first thing you'll do is, I'm going to go get my passport renewed, or if I haven't ever got one, I'm going to go get one, and you just kind of get ready, and that's how it is. But this service, I wanted you to hear a few of our ministers, and I would like to, Mitch and Lynn Mays have been, I met Mitch, took me to lunch years ago to share a vision that was encompassing Europe, and it was in fact, you went and lived there, you went and did the work, and they carry nations, and they also lead the Sozo ministry, but they carry nations, and Mitch and Lynn work in Ecuador. There's a large orphanage. And in fact, you guys come on up and just share this, because I believe that this is one of those fruits. So come on up. What we're doing is we're opening our heart and getting a larger vision of the things that are happening. So Mitch, thank you.
It's Honduras, by the way.
Honduras, well, you see.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
Okay. A little bit of background. It's kind of like Pastor says. In 2002, we were part of a huge ministry, the largest in the world. I won't mention the name. We were going to start a big, giant humanitarian aid organization, which could have been the largest in the world had there not been a lot of politics involved. We were kind of involved in all that, and we decided we didn't want any part of that. And about a year later, we came back, and we said, well, what are we going to do? We want to be involved in something bigger than ourselves, and we decided we want to be involved with widows and orphans, like the Bible says. So a friend says, you have to go to this orphanage down in Honduras. So that very summer, we went down in 2003 to Honduras, and we've never stopped going. Now I'm on the board of directors. But I want to tell you a couple of miracles about it, a little bit of background, and then a quick story about the current problems and how the devil's tried to take it away. Lynn wants me to do all the talking, and I'm sorry. If we had more warning, we might have brought some pictures, but you just have to listen to me. I'm sorry.
You're good.
So 2003, we go down there, and we learn that the founders of this orphanage are a guy named David Martinez and his wife, Lydia. Turns out, unbeknownst to us at the time, that he was our butcher at the Ralph's Market on Victoria. And we used to go in there and order meat from him. And turns out he had only been a Christian for about 3 years. And he had been Catholic before that, didn't know anything about the Lord, was a drinker. The Lord changed his heart, and he's praying, and he wants to go to Israel, like all of us good Christians. And the Lord, in a vision, and I won't go into all the details, but tells him, I want you to go to Honduras. He clearly hears the Lord. So he tells us, he says, well, if you want me to go to Honduras, you better tell my wife, because she thinks we're going to Israel. So eventually, they get down to Honduras, and this is like 1989, and there was a war in the two neighboring countries, and there was a lot of orphan kids on the streets then. They were sniffing glue just to keep from starving. And so the Lord changed their hearts. They came back. They tell their church about it. They said, well, we want to go back down there and start an orphanage because there's all these kids on the streets. The church says, no, you can't do that. You're too new. You don't know. You don't have enough money. You can't do it. So they sold everything they have. I mean, you talk about, yeah. Steve taught yeah. us about these yeah. people, and these are them. Yeah. They sold everything they had, their cars, their house, everything. They had a total of $95,000. They go to Honduras, and they're going to start an orphanage. Well, lo and behold, you just can't go down to Honduras and start an orphanage. You have to jump through a lot of hoops with the government. And so they spent about 2 years jumping through all these hoops. In the meantime, they're spending down their cash reserve, and they're starting ministries by starting little churches in the mountains. So eventually, their realtor lawyer guy says, you know, I think I have a piece of property up about 2 hours outside the capital that you might be interested in. And the guy says he would like to have it be an orphanage. So they go up there, and they see this property. It's owned by a Cuban Honduran guy that spoke English. And this guy says, you know, I'd like to have it as an orphanage, and I'd like you guys to have it. I'll give it to you for like $150,000. They said, oh, my God, we can't afford that. And it didn't have any running water, no electricity. It had a barn. It had a thing at the top of one of the local hills that held water. And he goes, well, I tell you what, I really want you to have it. I really want you to have it. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give it to you for $90,000, and you can pay me over 5 years interest-free. They said, wow, maybe we could do that. I think we could swing that, you know. We can at least make the first payment, you know. So,
yeah.
So they didn't know how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
So in, back in Honduras, the lawyers draw up the paperwork, so they had to come back about 2 months later. So they come back about 2 months later, and they thought they were buying 90 acres, okay? So they're signing the paperwork, or they're looking over the paperwork, and he goes, and his wife, Lydia, is kind of stalling on this. She's not sure she really wants to sign the paperwork. He goes, by the way, how many acres was this again? And the guy goes, well, it's 900 acres. 900. He goes, oh, my God, sign that paperwork. They signed the paperwork. So they've had their problems over the years, and it turns out the neighbors didn't like them at one point and said they were taking their property, and they wanted an official marking of the property, so they had to have the big government officials come out. And when they finally did a final mapping of the property, it turns out they have over 1,100 acres. That's the miracle of God, I want to tell you. And my wife thinks I should tell you about the fact that it's not all roses. Now imagine, they start off with 5 kids. Now in Honduras, there's no foster system. So the government drives in, some government official drives in with a truck, has a bunch of kids in the back, says, how many can you take? And they say, at first they said, well, take them all. Well, they got up over 600 kids, and it depends on who's in government, who's the president and his emphasis. Right now, the president doesn't emphasize kids and doesn't care about the kids, so that program of pulling kids off the streets is kind of diminished, so they've dropped down to about 500 kids right now. But over those years, a lot of people have been involved, different churches, particularly big churches in Chattanooga and Alabama, which we've gotten involved as well. They've helped this orphanage a lot, and they have buildings all over the place. They raise pigs, they raise tilapia now, they have cows for milk, so the kids get, say, fish 2 days a week, they get pork 1 day a week, but they have to buy a lot of stuff. So their expenses to house 600 kids and to give them schooling. They have schooling all the way up through high school there now. It gets kind of expensive, and they have a lot of buildings, and they have buildings for team members like us if we want to come down as a group. I said we could probably bring 90 people down there. They have a kitchen. We could house 90 people for a couple of weeks, and if we had someone that could cook, you know, that would help.
Okay, we need to cook. See, everybody's
it's pretty
needed.
Important. So I'm getting off track here. Well, I want to tell you about the current problem. So about 9 years ago or so, they had a pro-government legislature, and they were kind of supporting orphanages. And so a bill was passed to support Orphanage Emmanuel and said, well, we'll give them electricity for free. And so that bill went through Congress and it got signed, and we're all jumping up and down, thought it was great, because electricity was a big expense down there. It turns out the president never signed that bill. So a few years later, the electric company, which actually is owned by the government, but it has a different board of directors, says, we want you to start paying us. And the local mayor, who's like a state governor in our country, they're pretty big and down there. He said, no, don't pay it. It's going to go through. Don't worry about it. Don't pay. So there's controversy. So over the last 8 years, they haven't paid electric bill. Now the government, the power company, said, no, we don't care about that anymore. There's no bill. You're going to pay us. And they shut off their electricity right before Christmas this last year. Just shut it off. And so that created a panic. And the David and Lydia and current guy that's helping run the place, Wade, went down and had to go talk to the power company, along with a lawyer they had to hire, which was a big lawyer out of their capital. And the power company agreed to turn the power back on if they gave them everything they had in their savings account, which was about $160,000, and agreed to pay the current bill in full and agree to pay something towards the retro, which that turned out to be about $25,000 a month, cut into their overall monthly expenses. And so it's been a burden. They started this about a year ago. Well, I actually started paying the retro about a year ago, but they shut off the electricity and right before Christmas, and that's when I had to fork up their savings account. Since that time, it turns out the legislature had was always trying to get the power company out of Honduran hands, and so Canada had agreed to take it at one time, France had agreed to take it at one time, and they all fell through. Right now, it looks like Venezuela wants to take over the power in Honduras, which is really scaring everybody. But the government down there said, well, we're going to give amnesty to everybody if they pay their entire power bill, absent penalties and fees, by March 31st. And I was down there for a board meeting back in February, and we just learned about this. So all of a sudden, we're scrambling and panicking. How are we going to come up with the money to pay it by March 31st? And what they were saying we owed, what the orphanage owed, was $1.5 million. That's in counts penalty and fees, and remember, their interest rate's about 18%. So even though they've been paying the $25,000 a month for about the last year, it wasn't making a dent. So they said, well, we're going to waive the interest and penalties, and they came up with this number, $800,000. So we were scrambling to come up with $800,000 by March 31st, just a couple months ago. All the board of directors agreed to mortgage their houses and see if we can borrow money to pay the $800,000 immediately and then figure out how we're going to pay it later.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, lo and behold, God's mercy, that the government extended that to the end of the year. So right now we have to the end of the year to come up with $800,000, either in a loan to start off with or in hard money to pay it off. So That's the current dilemma. The other thing I want to tell you about is, how many of you had teenage kids? And how many of them were a little bit rebellious in their teenage years? Yeah. Well, imagine 300 of them at any one time. And so it's a lot of struggle down there for an orphanage, and it's amazing. You just go down there, it's a miracle. You see it, it's like an oasis in a land of poverty, because it's been built by Americans, and they're trying to build it up to nice standards, and there's always people that want to help. So if you want to help, you can either contact Lynn or myself, or you can go online and look up Orphanage Emmanuel. They're in Guaymaca, Honduras. It's about 2 hours north of the capital.
We go in February.
Oh, we go in every February for sure, sometimes more often, but we'll be going next February. There's a big group that goes down there from Alabama and Chattanooga, and we'd like to be part of them. They're a lot of fun. And we also have the board meeting at that time. So if you're interested and want to go, a few of us have gone in the past. Allie's gone.
Yeah.
Dan's gone. Yeah. Glenn's gone. So we haven't taken big groups. But if you want to go, let us know. Maybe we can figure it out.
Why don't you take a moment? Let's pray and agree for that debt to be paid. Yes. Would you lead the prayer? We'll agree today.
Well, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the problems you bring, because we know that you have the solution and that you will provide, Lord. And so we try not to panic. We try not to worry. But, Lord, it's in your hands. We give it to you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your provision. Yeah. We thank you for your mercy that you will take care of this problem because you love us and you love your children all around the world, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paid in full.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, guys. Can you get that video from Gregory and Jan up? And Jordan, come on up here because I want you to, after this video, to introduce yourself. For several years, now almost 10 years, the Cuskies have lived in Jerusalem, and they're presently waiting to come for a renew of their visa or to be able to become residents or citizens, and so they can't even leave the country. But I asked them to send a video because they're in multiple places, and you can hear a little bit about it, and then you'll understand Jordan's part. So go ahead. We'll go ahead and start that over again. All right. So they're fun to watch, but we need sound. So you guys are ready. Okay, one more time. Jordan is part of a pilot program. You tell me when you're ready. He's leaving in August. He's going to live for a year. He's being invited by the government, the social services arm of the Israeli government, to help with young Aliyah teenagers, many of them are leaving their families to make Aliyah to Israel. And so they host them in a beautiful compound. Cammie and I will be off at the 1st of June to go meet all of these representatives, but Jordan's going to go and live for a year. You guys, when you're ready, you just start playing, but go ahead.
Yeah, in August I'll be leaving for a year overseas to Israel. When Mac and Kathy brought the group last September, Jan introduced a program that social services and the school is wanting to do. The school is called Dr. Goldenstein Youth Village. It's a village made up of 40 acres of like roughly 350 students from different countries like Ukraine, Russia, France and Ethiopia. Those are just a few of the countries. Most of these kids are parentless. This school does allow students from Jerusalem to attend this school as well, but they are providing a safe place for these students to have the education that they deserve, to be fed properly, to have a safe place where, yes, they might be taken away from the culture of or where they're from, but this school is still teaching them about their culture, also teaching them, you know, how to live in Israel, to learn Hebrew. I'll be learning Hebrew myself with these students, so praise God, because I am. These students are also learning, so, I mean, communicating with them will be really, really fun. Some of the things that we'll be doing in the program is a lot of these kids need some counseling, so we're going to be connected with the staff members on how to deal with some of the issues that they deal with every day. I mean, they've been taken away from or, you know, brought, introduced to Jerusalem, a new country, a new culture. Some of these kids don't have a religion, so they're taught Judaism, and praise God for that, because now it gives Jan and the three other girls that I'll be going with to give us an even easier way to preach the gospel of Jesus. Wait, is it on?
So it's getting close.
Getting close. Okay. So just real quick, some of the things that we're going to be able to do is we're going to do a lot of activities like sports and stuff like that. We are going to be constantly by their side, making sure that they have a safe place. That's the one of the main importances they want us, not just to be able to help the staff members there, but also give the students a safe place to feel welcomed, to feel loved. And that's pretty much what we're going to be doing. So.
All right, stay up here. Let's go ahead and if you guys go.
Hi, Jubilee.
Hi, Jubilee.
Gregory and Jan in Jerusalem.
Yay.
We're happy to see you. We have a quick report for you because you're starting the Acts Church.
Yes.
And Jubilee means freedom, and that's what we're all about. We are an arm of Jubilee way over here in Jerusalem from the center of the world where everything's starting.
Good. Well, see.
Look at, first of all, let's say yay for Gregory, Mr. Resurrection Man.
He almost died.
You prayed for him, and look at him. He's better than ever. So, okay. Awesome. We thank you for that.
Jan, what's going on?
What is going on?
Tell me about Aliyah.
Aliyah. Aliyah, everybody knows Aliyah. Aliyah is coming up, and God is stirring up the nations to stir the Jews up to come back to make Aliyah into his land, Israel. And there's tons of people making Aliyah now, and we are a part of it. So we're excited.
We're excited.
That Jubilee is helping make donations to help Israel bring people back from the crisis countries.
Yes. Tell me about Jordan Kennedy.
Jordan Kennedy. We have a Jubilee. Youth is joining our Jubilee team. They call it the Jubilee team from the social services ministry in Israel. They've asked us to have a team to work in the youth village right behind our house, right over there.
Right over there.
Yep. And it has 12 to 18 year olds coming from the crisis nations, and they are in the process of Aliyah, making decisions of whether they're going to stay in Israel, and they all do once they come here. So Jordan's going to be part of the experimental teams of Christians living amongst Jews by the permission of Israel. So this is exciting. So Jordan, we're excited for you to come.
Steve and Cammie
are coming June 5th tonight. And they are going to meet all the officials in the youth village, so they'll see where the team is going to be, the Jubilee team. Actually, the village is very excited to meet Steve and Cammie, so that's awesome. Yeah, so send them out with a shout, yep. And they're going to bring a donation to the Jewish agency for to help with Aliyah, which is just an honor.
Thank you, Jubilee. Thank you.
And so Steve and Cammie will meet all the officials, and we will have some fun
as well.
Help
us do that, please.
How about Springs of Hope?
Springs of Hope. You guys all know Lisa Miar. She spoke at Jubilee. And so Israel has sanctioned for an Israeli NGO, Springs of Hope, to be in Kurdistan in the northern area of Iraq where Abraham came from. And the Yazidi people are the ones that were recently attacked, raped, pillaged, murdered, beheaded, and there's still rescue operations for all of the women and children that are still in captivity. But we're asking Jubilee to pray for this Kurdistan until they all get released. We're all believing that they will have faith as Abraham, and it will be counted to them as righteousness.
Tell me about the rape kits.
The what? Rape. Oh, yes, the rape kits. Jubilee, you have been funding some rape kits for the Yazidi women, and they are just, they are receiving them as they come out of captivity, and there's a rescue remedy and homeopathics and tramiel cream and all kinds of things for them to start their process back to getting rid of trauma in their bodies.
Oh, quick, tell me about the men, the rescue men, what they wear in their bags.
Oh, the men who rescue the Yazidi women wear Israeli flags under their coats when they go into Syria, because they believe in the power of the God of Israel.
Wow.
So there is a mandate here, and we're part of it. And so what we're doing is we're really helping Israel become a light to the nations,
yeah,
in a very unusual, creative way. God is on this one.
And so the returning people live in refugee camps?
Yep, they live in refugee camps. We are sending a list to Steve and Carolyn for the Acts Church to be praying specific intentional prayers.
Shoes.
For some of our people. Shoes. The women, the ISIS takes away all their shoes so they can't escape. So no one has shoes. So Lisa is asking for help with getting shoes, which are $8 a pair, special Yazidi sandals.
They're not Nikes.
They're some type of sandals. Also, there is a Springs of Hope sewing factory springing into action. We have one treadle sewing machine with one woman sewing right now. Lisa bought some fabric for $1 a meter so that women can start replacing their clothing. Most of the women have never had a different outfit on since all of this siege happened. And that's one outfit, and some of them even in their rescue outfits. So that's the number one mandate. We're going to get new clothes for these ladies. And we need money for two sewing machines, and it's $130 each for each machine. So we want to rent a building so these women, we can pay them a small salary. They're all willing to work. Here is a gift from the Yazidi women to me, and I'm going to use it as a prayer focus for the ones that aren't rescued yet and the ones that still need a lot of help and prayer when they come out. The little boys need help. This is a gift from the Yazidi women also. Thank you for the rape kits. So it's they're responding from their hearts.
Tell us about the happy purses.
Oh, Cambodian sex trafficked women that are rescued are sewing purses for the Yazidi women, and the Yazidi women are excited, and they're calling them their happy purses. So there's cute stories about how people are rallying, but this is all kingdom.
So we just want to thank you, Jubilee. We thank you for supporting us. We thank you for supporting the Yazidis. We thank you for supporting Springs of Hope.
We love you.
We love you, and we hope to see you again next month.
Yes, we will be giving weekly reports, and we will send emails.
Let's say periodic reports.
Yeah, periodic reports.
Good.
For whatever is going on. We love you. We want to stay connected.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Those of you who have never got to meet Jan, she's kind of not very enthusiastic. But got a chance to get a hold of that. Let's pray for Jordan. You can help support him. He's going to need that prayer support and financial support. You can do all of these things you see. If you have a desire to sow into it, you just give it into our nations, indicate where you're trying to have it go, and we'll get that money to the people who can move it in. So, Father, we thank you for Jordan, a man who's already responded to the call to nations and been in South America, and now you're calling him to Israel. And we want him to go out in full covering of prayer and intercession. We want you to support him financially. We know you will. We want you to move and allow him to become just an instrument of life, that he would go as Paul prayed, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, that he would carry that voice and that love, and that, God, you would allow this project called the Jubilee Team to be successful, to accomplish what you want, to bring young men and women forward in their aliyah, and that you would bring life from the dead. That's what you promised ultimately you're going to do in every place in the earth, and especially in Israel. So bless Jordan and send him out and grace him in these next couple months of prepping in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guy. Now, one last thing, and I want to ask the Thailand team that's going out and the forming London team that's going to come all up on the stage, because I want you to see these people. And while they're coming up, I want to tell you a little story that really, really warmed my heart yesterday. The Father's Heart, which has been our focus on sowing into the Generation 40 below, did yesterday, Let's Talk About Marriage. It was a really incredible time. I mean, I was amazed at just the sound and the freedom. And it was all about Jesus. And it'll be up online in a few days, few weeks. I don't know for sure. But Diana and Ryan Anderson were one of the speakers. And so Ryan begins telling the story that Jordan Lee, who had approached him, he and Aubrey were doing a project. Every one of the Father's Heart was called to do a project that they got in prayer, and they brought it to fruition. And so theirs was this marriage seminar, this conference. And Jordan approached Ryan to see if they would be part of the marriage speaking team. And Ryan was going, you know, he's like, this is not my friend. I do not like microphones. But Jordan, when 2 years earlier, we had introduced to Jubilee all of the team that was going out or being a part of Father's Heart, and we asked everybody, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing today, pick one person, take their face, capture them in and make them a prayer project. Because if you'll pray for one person, and it becomes not just, oh, there's a team going to Thailand, or, oh, there's a team going to Jerusalem, oh, there's so many people over in Jerusalem, and there's a place over there, you begin to get connected. Well, it turned out that 2 years earlier that Ryan had zeroed in on Jordan Lee and had been praying for him and carrying him. So when Jordan Lee said, will you do this? His heart had already been joined to Jordan. So it's basically, whatever you ask me to do, Jordan, I'll do. You don't know how your life moves into the next season. You see, a lot of times we're underestimating the small little things that we might do. Pray for this, sow into that, be a part of this. But you'll watch and see how 3 years from now, 5 years from now, all of a sudden you're right there. You just can't not connect that way. So I'm going to ask you to look at everybody. I want Ali, just for real short, to share about Thailand, and Diana is going to share about London, the challenges and prayer, both. And yeah, you know how to turn it on. And then we're going to pray. And then we're going to, this group, plus Jordan, plus Mitch and Lynn, will be all available over at the dance floor to pray for you. Okay? So praise you, Jesus. Go ahead.
So we get to go to Thailand for about 2 weeks, end of June, beginning of July. We're going to join up in Pattaya with Randy and Edie Nelson. They have a ministry called Bridges to the Nations. And they have a center there right in the middle of Pattaya, which is like the sex trafficking capital. And beautiful people there, like God, just sons and daughters, beautiful people that need the love of Jesus and need to know that they have a dad in heaven that cares for them. And they have a center there, and children come in, and women who've been rescued can come in, and they can hear truth, they can hear the gospel, they can get prayed over, they can get rehabilitated and get inner healing. And it's just so beautiful. It's such a light in the middle of the city. And so we get to partner with them for about a week in Pattaya, and we're going to be praying over people, over women and children. We get to probably go into some schools. We have a Thailand worship team, which is basically a lot of the Beast Mode worship team is coming with us on our trip.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's they're so crazy anointed and such lovers, and our whole team carries such a mantle of love, which is exactly what you want if you're going to go minister to people that need to know the love of the Father. And so that's the first part of our trip. We're going to be doing street witnessing, and I think Edie's going to take us to a high place that overlooks Pattaya, and we're just going to intercede and pour out and get the heart of the Father for that place. Then the second part of our trip is going to be in Bangkok. We're going to go to Praise Church with Pastor Pumaneta, and they're doing a conference. Pastor Steve is going to be speaking at in Bangkok. So for the last like 4 days of our trip, we're going to head over to Bangkok, and we're going to be part of that ministry team, Pastor Steve's ministry team, and we're going to lay hands on people and pray over them and love on them and get to see a lot of Thailand and just love the nation of Thailand. Like, the goal of our trip is to love, 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 love in miracles, signs and wonders, in prayer, in laying on of hands, in playing with the children, telling them about Jesus in the schools, all of that stuff. So yeah, I'm excited. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the end of June, 1st of July. And there's like 15, 16 of us going. So there's going to be a couple services in May or June to release and practice ministry. So you'll get to see more of them. But Diana, please.
Last year, we took a team of 15 to England to be part of Commonwealth Church's prayer conference that they have in Northern England every summer called Chosen. And some of you are familiar with Pastors Rod and Julie Anderson, who have come here as well. And we've covenanted as sister churches. And it was Pastor Steve and Pastors Rod and Julie's vision that the Lord would form a highway of holiness between us, where it would be a bridge between our churches and between our nations, where God would multiply the works of each ministry as we partnered together. Because the people we're connected to give access now to them, that if they're going somewhere, we can say, we've got people there. Let's partner you. Let's plug you in. And likewise. And Los Angeles is a hub, and London is one of the international hubs of the world. And so that's one part. The other is what we carry in the Spirit, and it's a very similar mantle between our ministries. So last year when we took the Liberty team, what we felt led to do was to come under them and just be total support for their conference, whatever they're needed. We came in to partner with their prayer team, but you know, they were like, oh, we didn't have ushers show up. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3. And we were just, we you know, managed lines. We did whatever they needed. We just came in. And when the conference was over and all the guests had left and just the workers remained and they were unpacking, we just grabbed one of them at a time whenever we could and brought them to the prayer tent. And we just spent time ministering to them, which they felt was the most meaningful thing to them as well, to just have someone come in and breathe life into them. And that's what we felt. Now, this year, it's a little different. They're in a place in the spirit of transition. And, yeah, Jubilee knows nothing about transition. So what we've learned to do here by the leading of our pastor is God gives a vision, and we establish that vision, we set it in motion, and we start moving toward it. But when the Lord grows silent, we stop and we wait. And Jubilee has learned to not force the hand of God. We've learned to come and say, okay, what are you doing? We're not going to create an Ishmael. We're going to wait on you for clarity and for you, for where you want us to move. It may not even look super clean and beautiful to the outside world, but we're willing to wait, and the Lord always shows up. And this last spring, we did it again. Pastor kept trying to get speakers and kept getting the wrong months involved. And they're like, yeah, we're free. Oh, that's not February? No, we're not free. So come March, it became an in-house conference again where the ministries rose up. And what we saw was this most beautiful unity of all the healing ministries. It was so powerful. If you guys have a chance to go back on live stream and watch that night, was that Thursday night that the healing... The unity that was brought forth of the yielding to one another was just glorious. So now CCF, Commonwealth Church, finds themselves in a transition where they've secured Pastor Steve to come, but all the other speakers they keep asking are not available. And so their intercessors are starting to feel, well, maybe this is supposed to be a home conference. And yet they're like, but Jubilee, please still come because you're family. And so they're in that place of contention going, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? They carry nations. Julie carries so much for the nations of the world. And yet their church carries so much in the anointing of music as well. So they see where they're supposed to be, but they're in that transition place, in that contention place. And so we're feeling this year our ministry to them is it's unfolding as it's unfolding for them. We're kind of waiting on the Lord with them and partnering because we kind of have authority there. We have practice in that place of waiting and trusting and not being afraid to wait. So we're carrying them in prayer that way, and I ask that you guys would also carry them in prayer. And then we want to come and to sow in whatever it is the Lord wants to minister to them to release them into their next season, because they're part of us, and we're part of them. And as we bless them, we'll be blessed. So please pray for us. If you are still interested in going to London, and you know, maybe before you thought now, but now you're feeling that stirring, please come see me after church. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so... what I'd like us to do, and we'll be available for prayer, but here you see and have heard stories of people moving, responding, struggling, challenges. They start small, the challenges just get bigger. The bigger we get, the bigger the challenges become. Every one of us in this room are in that motion. And I believe what God would want to do today that in this service is to quicken and awaken hope of our destiny. And whatever, some of your destinies are not going out and doing the gospel. Some of your destinies are inside your marketplace ministry, your home, your family. There's places where we are being contended over. And we've been praying last month about prosperity, because prosperity is, in both the Hebrew and the Greek, means the ability to move forward without being stopped. That's what true prosperity is, the ability to do what we're being called to do. And that can sometimes be withheld because of money, sometimes health, sometimes relational conflicts. There's multiple ways that we get hindered. But I believe right now that today, by your permission given to the ones you've heard and blessing them to go forward, we can also say to the Lord, God, we want... Because it's been prophesied over Jubilee that because of this call to the nations and all the flags and all the prayers and all the intercession, that this church would be like LAX International, that there would be so many people's comings and goings that we would have a hard time keeping track of who was coming. And I think that would be totally awesome. Yeah. I think so. I think it would be totally awesome. And there's going to be senders, there's going to be goers, there's going to be prayers. And without the three components, and I believe we'll all get a chance to do one or the other and all of the above as we choose. So can we all stand up together? And we will, let's pray for these teams that we've heard of, and then let's receive prayer. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. It's a different service, but it's not outside of the kingdom, that's for sure. You have a vision for the world. And you've saved the world already by your son, Jesus. He took away the sin of the world, and so that the world could know you. And you are a redeemer, and you delight yourself in sending love and help and freedom. And so, Lord, we pray for the ministries and the people that we've seen and heard today. And we ask you to prosper their advancement. Prosper their calling, prosper their assignment, prosper their projects, prosper their visions, and cause these ministries, which is just a portion, a 10% portion of what is already going on in and out of Jubilee. But we've heard and seen these faces. Now, Lord, give us a face up here, or one of the faces that have already been up here, as a prayer partner assignment. And just decide who you're going to pray for. And if you don't know who they are, afterwards, go ask them their name so you get a name to the face. Okay? Everybody pick somebody. They're yours. Now, they're not your slave. They're your one you carry in your heart for their success. All right. Got it? Okay, now let's pray for each other. Let's just lift up our hands and just say, Heavenly Father, come. Come to us, Lord, who know you know us. We may barely be saved, not even yet saved, but we're here. Or we may be saved so long that we don't know if there's anything left for us to be about. We ask you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to come upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be witnesses anew for Jesus Christ wherever you send us. You said don't go from anywhere you are until the power of the Holy Spirit comes, because then you'll be my witnesses to me. So, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, come upon us, anoint us afresh, and get us moving in the direction and future you called us. We declare, in the name of Jesus, we agree that all obstacles that are standing in front of any of us, they are to be made a plain. They are to be made smooth for us to advance and you to move and glorify yourself. So, Lord, we receive. Now, last thing, Father, we ask you to quicken right now in our hearts, hope again. Yes. Hope, vision, expectancy, dreams, things that we've discovered before, but we maybe have given them up because it's now been so long. But Lord, let the burning bush moments happen now, that we are called again and called up to the calling you called us in the first place. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,